Welcome, everybody. My name's Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. And I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples, I work with teenagers. I have been doing this work for over a decade now, and I use the tools of transactional analysis as created by Eric Byrne. I use the tools of androgynous semantic realignment, which is the work of my mentor, Pat Allen, and I use tools that I've created myself because I've been doing this for a while now. I've also written four books on this subject, and they're all available on Amazon. The first one is really the basics of this work. So if you're looking for some supporting material, you can look at those. And in addition to doing this meetup and doing private sessions, I also teach this work several times a year. And that's the module packages that you see listed in the chat. That's if you want to sign up for those are smaller groups that we really work intensively for a month, marrying the theories of this work to people's life experiences. And those are really good too. We just finished up a module two. So there's three modules. You start obviously one, two, and three. And I basically teach my books with additional collateral as well. Okay. So why are we here? What are we doing? I'm going to give you the background of this work. So the principles that these tools that I use are based on. This is very established psychological scientific scholarship. So there's not a lot of question there, but there is some confusion about what some of these terms mean. So I'm going to give a short background, and then I'm going to spend most of the time taking your questions. So think about the questions that you have. My specialty is obviously dating and relationships, but I also help people with all kinds of problems, communication, work, politics, family issues, because when we're talking about relationships and specifically about problems in relationships, what we're really talking about is unresolved childhood trauma, right? And the triggers that we get when we're in our most intimate relationships. Basically, from the ages of 0 to 12, we have a number of critical developmental windows. And the things that happen during those windows really set us up for life. Freud believed you were cooked by age three, and then there was nothing you could do about it. We now know that the brain is plastic and it can change and it can rewire itself, but it does take work, it does take time, it does take persistence, and most of all, it takes awareness. But the things that happen to us between the ages of 0 to 12 have such a deep impact on us that many writers and philosophers and scientists, including Freud, have, in addition to Freud, postulated childhood is the only reality. And just because you grow up doesn't mean you grow out of your childhood wounds. So these things really do have to be approached and addressed in a direct manner. And that's what I help people with because where we see these childhood traumas come up first is our most intimate relationships. When we're young, we develop coping mechanisms that we think are existential truths, but they're really strategies of the moment that help us deal with the people who run our refrigerator. And often that attachment comes at the sacrifice of our authenticity. Now, when we're little, we don't really have a choice because we depend on adults to take care of us. We're not a species where we birth our young and then our young just go out into the wild, right? Human children are very dependent. But when we get older, we can make different choices and we can choose our authenticity over attaching to another person. However, unless we bring a lot of awareness to the things that happened in our childhood, to these coping mechanisms, to these strategies, We are doomed to repeat them. And that's a psychological phenomenon known as the repetition compulsion, which was first observed by Freud and then later written about by the psychologist Alice Miller, who's fantastic, and wrote a book about specifically about the repetition co compulsion called For Your Own Good that I highly recommend. But basically, the repetition compulsion states that we're doomed to repeat that which we don't understand. So we will take these strategies that we developed in childhood and we will put them into our adult relationships, and we will choose people who fulfill the roles of the adults in our childhood. And many of us don't want to do this. We are consciously trying not to choose somebody like our father or our mother. And yet, the subconscious, the unconscious works it out in a way that the conscious mind never could. And I can't tell you the number of times I've spoken to clients where they've said, "Oh, yeah, I thought I wasn't marrying my father, and then he turned out to be exactly like my father," right? So again, the answer, the solution to that is really raising your awareness and then having the courage to take an action or an inaction that will counter some of these scripted injunctions. That's what they're called. The whole group of strategies are called life scripts, and it takes a lifetime to play out a life script. So that's another thing that I do. There's a questionnaire developed by Eric Byrne. It's the life script questionnaire. We do a mini version in the modules, but I also do just script appointments, one-on-one script appointments, where we go through some of these questions to uncover your scripts and to uncover the ways in which you may be sabotaging yourself from getting what you want. It tends to be that we spend a lot of time focusing on changing other people and not a lot of time on managing our own reality, our own reactions, and our own thoughts. And ironically, that's the area that we have the most control over. And we really don't have very much control over other people. So that's something else that I help people with. Okay, so. Happy relationships, successful relationships are primarily characterized as balanced. And this means a balance between the feminine and masculine energies. All of us are both feminine and masculine. So this trans movement has really come as no surprise to me because we all of us have a feminine side of the brain that is passive, patient, vulnerable. This is the yin energy. It's the energy of magic, of sexuality, sensuality, creativity, feelings, non-linear thinking, the realm of magic and miracles. And then all of us have a left brain that is more single-minded, that is the seat of linear thought, that is competitive, conquering, controlling. This is the giving, taking care of, nurturing instincts in us. This side is what we use at when we're at work. We're mostly in our masculine side when we're at work, and we live in a very masculinized world. There's one reason why we failed to take care of our environment. So all of us have these two sides, and all of us have a unique balance in which we feel the most authentic and most comfortable. Okay. And that balance is within ourselves, but that balance is also within our romantic relationships. So when you're looking for a partner, you're looking for somebody who has complementary energy. That's complementary with an E. And that doesn't matter if it's homosexual or heterosexual, complementary energy can be inhabited by people of any gender, right? You can have a feminine man and a masculine woman. You can have a masculine woman and a feminine woman. The important thing is that this energy is balanced because what we don't want to have are power struggles. And we can have a power struggle for the masculine energy, which is the struggle for control. and dominance in the relationship, or we can have a power struggle for the feminine energy, which is for the struggle for sympathy and tears. Okay. Either way, we can have a power struggle. That's why I always ask people, and when you're working with me, I'll probably ask you at some point, which do you want more? Do you want your feelings cherished, which is the feminine mode, or do you want your thoughts respected? All of us want both. But these tools are for sticky situations and conflicts. And that's when it really helps to know which energy you want to be coming from, which energy you want to be inhabiting in your personal relationship. So a lot of times I work with very successful women who are great at work and accomplishing and doing and achieving. And then they're bringing that same energy to their relationships and finding that it's not working. So, if you're a woman who wants to be in her feminine energy, I do help a lot of people ramp that up. I also help women being their masculine energy. So, it's not just one thing, it's really up to you. And these balances and these in ourselves and in our relationships change as we get older because we have hormonal drop-offs that make women a little bit more masculine over the age of 50 and men a little more feminine over the age of 50. That doesn't mean that a man over the age of 50 can't be masculine. He can be. It's just has to do with an awareness of these dynamics and what is happening in our bodies. Okay. If you didn't understand everything, if this is your first night, that's okay. That's not a big deal. It takes repetition to learn anything, and definitely this work. And a lot of this work is understood by trying some of these tools out. I can explain theories all night long, and sometimes I do. But in general, when you go and put that theory into practice, it just hits a lot deeper. And then when you come back and share with us your update of what happened, I use this tool, I tried this. It sinks in even deeper. So sometimes it takes a moment. I know for me, when I first started this work, I really didn't understand it. And it irritated me greatly when I did start hearing about it. But I had seen an incredible result in a friend where she had really turned her life around, went from being broke and single, a teenage mom, to really making a ton of money, marrying the man of her dreams, starting her own company. I mean, it was pretty incredible in the space of about 3 years. And so when I saw those results, I was interested. And this work is very results oriented, because it really helps you see how to get what you want and the ways in which you may be sabotaging yourself subconsciously, unconsciously, maybe even consciously. But we tend to be at the mercy of these scripts until we can process the trauma that is buried there. Okay. Now I'm going to open it up for questions. You can put your question in the chat. You can raise your hand, and then I'll unmute you. Alicia. Are you there? Alicia? We lost her. Maybe she's leaving and coming back in. Okay. Yeah, and I also love to hear your update. So if you just have an update, feel free to chime in with that as well. No? Everybody's good? No questions? Should I just wrap it up then? No, here we go. Wendy.
Hi, I'll give an update.
Okay, give an update.
Yeah, so about the LA guy.
Oh, yeah, what happened with that?
Yeah. So a couple things, and basically it's all good for me now. So a couple things. he a couple days later he said, "I'm back." I knew he was going on a business trip at some point. And I had been thinking, you know, when I talked to you, I was really pretty upset that I hadn't heard from him. And I just really wanted to be in integrity about whether I was just being triggered or whether I was truly, because you know, when you're triggered, you just want to be right? Like more than anything. And I realized that there could be other variables. And I said, "Did you get my text?" That's the one where I was saying, you know, I'd like to,
Yeah, when did you ask him that?
after he said, "I'm back."
Oh, okay. And
I
was
put,
that after the time that you guys were supposed to meet up?
right, yeah. So it was a couple days later, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, because I didn't think I was going to hear from him again. And
Right, right.
so he was acting like everything was fine. And so he's like, "What text?" So I found out that three other friends actually didn't receive texts from me either. That it shows on my phone that it was received.
Oh,
And so there's
that's
something wonky
annoying.
going on there. So I decided to kind of give him another chance. But
Okay.
he ended up doing the same thing basically again. And so I kind of, you know, I lost it. Not lost it. I just, you know, gave him a little, just my thoughts. I said, you
Right.
know, he said it. He said it's raining here in LA. I could try to come tomorrow. But I checked the weather and it was sunny in LA, just like it was in San Diego here. I mean, maybe he lives in a part of LA that was raining, or, but it didn't show that on. Well, I mean, I don't know. He could have corrected me, but he didn't. So I said, "Look, it's, you know, it shows it's raining there." And I said, "I really don't feel comfortable, you know, sitting by the phone each morning to see where you're at with," because he said, "You know, I'll try to come to." I said, "What do you mean try? If you can't commit to something, I really don't want to play this game." And he wrote back, "Agreed." So I was kind of like, he did that kind of once before. I mean, it's the bottom line is I don't really feel too angry anymore. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, maybe he didn't want to be with me and just didn't have the guts to say it, or this was just a fantasy thing and he never intended to come down. But the fact that he didn't really defend himself, he just said agreed.
Yeah,
Like he's right. Like
that's
he's
enough.
agreeing.
Yeah, I think it sounds like
Yeah.
it could have been a catfish, honestly.
What is that?
You know, where somebody's pretending to be somebody else and they're not really available. You know, because if
I mean, he sent me his last name. There's like an article written about him in a paper with
Okay.
his work. He's well known. I think it's who he says he is, you know?
Yeah, but you know, he's not willing to meet, so
Yeah.
very sus.
So I don't really feel angry. I said I truly wish you well. I mean, like the next day I said, you know.
Okay, good. Well, good for
Yeah.
you. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the update. Allie.
Thank you so much. Hi, Chloe.
Hi, Allie. How can I help you?
Okay. I love your philosophy on how the masculine feminine energy play into navigating relational spaces and intimate partnerships. I'm wondering what say you in the following matter. I am deeply ensconced in healing from CPTSD and trauma that I did not know that I had. And I've done a lot of work on myself. And I have a really good track record. I've had amazing men in my life. I've dated remarkable. I'm gonna say this always sounds like this is being persnickety or something like that. I was gonna say well-heeled men or high net worth men. I have a tendency to date men like that, men who
That's
are
fine.
movers and
That's
shakers. Okay,
fine.
got it. So mover and shaker
I mean,
men.
that's what
Yeah.
you like. You're entitled to like what you like.
That's what I attract. It's not that I'm going after those guys. And so the thing is, this is the question. Since I've been in the space of healing, my point of attraction has been different. And so I've put the brakes on really intentionally going out, looking to connect and partner with someone. And so I am in partnership right now with a beautiful man who is not my forever partner. He's Mr. Right for now. And he adores me, and we really have a great time. I'm just wondering, do you feel that those types of situations, even when I know and I've communicated it to him and I check in periodically to, make sure that he's aware that he's not falling too deep in this and he's understanding that I don't see a future and that kind of thing because I don't want to hurt him. And he's a really lovely guy. However, what's your position on being clear that someone is not the one, yet you're in that situation anyway? It's more of a situationship, but it's a loving one. We're in a monogamous relationship and it's a committed relationship. Do you feel like that hinders my opportunity to partner with the one, and somehow it scrambles my energetic field around attracting?
Okay, so there's a little bit of confusion about attracting and choosing. Most of my clients are attracting any number of men or women, but it really is more about who you're choosing to be with. So if I'm understanding this correctly, you are choosing to be with a guy who you don't see a long-term relationship with.
Not a future. We've been together for almost 3 years now.
Oh, that's a while. Okay, so why not a future?
Because he's not the one. I mean, he's actually a former sweetheart of mine. And so he kind of came back into my life in a very interesting way. And it almost feels like divine intervention. And he's really been instrumental in supporting my healing and growth journey. And it's
Okay.
been amazing. And we've been very, kind of into the symbiosis type situation where I help him and I've helped him to heal from different things and he helps me as well. So it's really beautiful in that respect. However, there's not a future there. And I'm clear
I'm
about
just
that.
wondering why there's not a future. I'm just trying to understand.
He's not really my type. He was my type years and years ago. However, we've outgrown one another and we've grown in divergent ways. And so I just don't see a future.
Okay, so you're not compatible, you don't think. You have
Okay, that's
chemistry. It's okay. So
not
for a successful relationship, you really need chemistry, which it sounds like you have.
we have lots of chemistry, yes.
Okay. Compatibility, which it sounds like maybe you don't have, and then communication, which is the thing that we can work on the most. Compatibility we can work on a little bit. Okay, let me ask you. In your intimate relationship, do you want your feelings cherished or your thoughts respected? Everyone wants both. Which is more important to you?
Feelings.
Okay. Because when you told me about this guy, you focused on his feelings. So to me, that sounds like that might be a reason why you're not compatible because you're cherishing his feelings and you don't sound like you respect him. Is that accurate?
Well, no, that's not it. It's
Okay.
basically, he said, I've been in love with two women in my life. You're one of them, and only one has broken my heart, and you're her. So I'm very cognizant about how I allow him to engage and how deeply, because he'd get married tomorrow if I said yes, because he's even proposed that.
Okay,
And I'm
so
like, yeah,
he's ready to
no.
marry, but you're not. You don't
Right,
think it's
yeah,
right. Okay,
no.
so what are you doing in the relationship then?
I'm
Are you in
continuing
it?
to heal. I'm continuing my healing journey. I'm in the process of moving. And there's a lot of stuff with supporting my mom in her kind of long-term care stuff as a senior, and she's having cognitive decline stuff. So I'm not in a space where I even have the cognitive bandwidth to take on being in connection with someone new. I just have too many moving parts right now. And so it's comfortable, and I'm continuing to heal, and he doesn't apply pressure, and we get along really well, just not for long term, you know? Yeah.
So you don't have the same long-term goals. You don't want the same things out of life.
Okay, that really encapsulates it. Yep, that's it.
Okay, so you're not compatible. Does that affect your ability to meet somebody else? Yes. Because you're kind of in a
Not
situation.
right now, not right now. I'm not even interested in meeting someone. I couldn't do
Oh,
any.
okay.
I'm meeting it all the time. I don't have the
Right.
ability. I don't have the bandwidth. I don't have. It's almost like living out of suitcases. I mean, I'm
Yes, I
trying to
understand. Your
travel.
mom's sick, and so you're just kind of like going day to day now.
Yeah, I have stuff at my house, stuff at my mom's house, stuff at his house. I'm not grounded right now.
Okay. Well, then you don't need to worry about attracting somebody else, right?
No, I'm aware of that. I'm not looking. I'm asking, do you, like, for example, there's a school of thought that says being with the wrong person makes it that much more difficult or much harder to attract the right person because they're basically sitting in that space energetically. And when you are ready, it's almost like you're putting out in the universe, I'm not really available, kind of, sort of, not really. You know, it kind of
Right.
muddles the energy.
Yes. Right. I agree with that, except for the fact that since you're not ready, it's really relevant. You know,
Okay, got
if
it.
you were ready, if you were saying, I'm totally ready to start dating and I'm just going to keep this on the side, then I would say, oh, okay, well, that's kind of taking off the edge, you know, of you being able to enter. You know, there's a certain loneliness. It's not really desperation, but there's a certain level of need when you're alone that you don't have when you're in a relationship. And that loneliness and that desire to be with somebody else is a little bit stunted if you're already in a relationship with somebody else. So I would say I agree with that, but since you're not doing that right now, then
No.
enjoy yourself with this guy. Let yourself off the hook. He can take care of himself. Stop trying to cherish his feelings. I really, if you're going to do anything, inhabit your feminine energy with this guy, you know, and just practice being in a relationship that way. Because when you talk about him, like I said, what I heard was you're very cognizant of his feelings. But maybe.
Only because he's my friend, he's been a friend for decades, like 40 plus years, and I'm not going to hurt him.
Okay.
And I know how vulnerable he is to me allowing him to believe that, okay, I'm all in. I don't want him to feel that. I don't want him to believe that. And I just check in periodically, just from an integrity standpoint and just ethics, you know, relational
Right.
ethics.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that's, you know, kind of you, and I think it's also really, you know, that's really smart. You don't want to be having intercourse with somebody without making your intentions clear about the future, you know. So I think that's very responsible.
Thank you.
I just think that, you know, if you want to be in the feminine energy, again, the dynamic between the two of you is that you're cherishing his feelings. That's all I'm saying. And so that does put you just into the masculine energy. So that may be pumping up your masculine side a little bit, which if you were looking for a masculine partner, then you would have a conflict there.
Well, he's very masculine. He's an alpha male. So, you know, the thing is, and he's not the greatest communicator. And
Okay.
this is something that we've been negotiating. I feel pretty strong in my negotiation skills and relationships. And he definitely sees me as feminine. It's just that because we're not compatible, I would never choose
Right.
him as a partner. However, for now it works. And essentially, my question was, do you feel like I'm hampering my ability to be positively aligned with my ideal partner or the ideal for me partner when I am ready? Because I am maybe energetically one foot on the brake and the other foot on. Yeah.
So
And I
you're gonna have
acknowledge
to make a
that.
change when you are ready.
Oh, yeah. I've
That's
communicated that.
all. But I would
Yeah.
just enjoy it for now.
Okay, because we're having a great time and we have
Yeah.
a. And he helps me with a lot of stuff. I'm about to move, and he and his family have like a, several businesses that can be helpful. I help him with a lot of stuff. So it's kind of like we help one another, and it makes sense for right now. And he's also a great friend, and we've been friends for decades, and
I
he
mean,
does
that sounds
cherish
really
me.
nice.
Yeah, he cherishes me, and so do his friends, and we have a good thing. We really do. I was
Then
just
that
curious
sounds
about
nice.
the
Enjoy it. You know, no relationship lasts forever anyways. They all end in death or divorce. So, you know, if this is what is good for you right now, then I say go for it. You know, don't fix something that's not broken.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm also experiencing, especially at the age that I am, it's been also very therapeutic because I'm working through all of that stuff with respect to hormonal changes, and I'm still feeling juicy and scrumptious, and he sees me as that. And so it's been amazing.
That's good because
Amazing.
that's helping you keep your momentum, you
There
know.
you go. Yeah. Thank you. So it's been very therapeutic on multiple fronts. And more than anything, he's really helped me to heal my autonomic nervous system, and he's also helping to allow me to co-regulate regularly to the degree that I'm healing by leaps and bounds, even in the quantum field. It's just been
Yeah.
amazing. I can't say
No,
enough.
I know. It's very hard to, you know, sometimes people are like, I can't be in a relationship because I have too many problems. I'm trying to heal. But I love the way you're expressing it because you're really reflecting that you have to really heal in the context of a relationship. There's only so much you can do on your own. So it's, you know, don't feel bad. Don't feel guilty and enjoy it. It sounds like he's getting something out of it. You're getting something out of it. And when it needs to change, you'll change it.
Yeah, definitely don't feel bad. Trust me. I'm feeling very comfortable. I was just
Okay,
curious
good.
about the future. Yeah, definitely. We're good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, thank you, Chloe.
You're welcome. Okay. I don't know who was next, but okay. Jenny. Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Yeah, just want to give you an update. Like from yesterday, I sent a text,
Right.
and then yeah. So after that, like I
Did he
guess
respond?
I think he just responded with like a heart, like the
Oh, that's
message.
nice. Okay, very good.
Yeah, and then he said it's his pleasure, and then after that, I guess he, oh, I actually called him yesterday, like, because after he like responded with the heart, and then he said it's my pleasure, and then I call him, but he didn't pick up the phone. So then,
Okay.
and then I got a little bit anxious. I was like, okay, and then,
Right.
but I sit with it. I was like, okay, and then he called like about 10 minutes later, and he was
Right.
like, oh, he was like, I was going into my home, and then like my phone was on the call in the car, and then he called me back. But then during the conversation, I guess I mentioned about I wanted to, look into like a freezing stuff. And then like he asked me, am I gonna reschedule it? Because we're going to like a Vegas trip. But then so we're talking about that, and then I was telling him about, oh, interested in egg freezing. And then while I was talking about that, he was like, oh, I need to go eat dinner. And
Right.
then and that's when I feel like, oh, like he kind of just wanna like didn't want to talk, or like, because
Right.
he didn't
Well,
really
I
respond.
think in the past he had said he wasn't real excited about the egg freezing, right?
He didn't say I'm not excited, but like he was actually suggesting to go with me. But then I think after we had the argument, after he dropped off the dessert, whatever, and then
Right,
that the
right.
argument, I feel like I can feel he's pulling away a little, so
Right, so he kind of pulled away when the egg freezing thing came up.
a
Well,
little bit, yeah.
okay.
And then so when he said I'm gonna go eat, and I was like, and I got anxious. I was like, oh, so do you, I asked him, I was like, so do you not like it when I talk about this? And he was like, no, I just need to go eat because, I mean, if I don't like it, I wouldn't ask you the question, how's the egg freezing? And then I was like, okay, but I was kind of getting sad because I feel like he just kind of cut me off saying, I'm gonna go eat. And he was like, I'm willing to go eat, babe. Like, and I was like, okay, fine. And then I just kind of cry a little because I feel like he just
Did he
need
hear
to
that?
leave.
Were you still on the phone?
Yeah, he can hear it. Because actually, when he called me back, I was already crying a little. Like he was like, oh, what's wrong? And I was like, oh, I didn't really tell him what's wrong. I was just like, oh no, I'm just like have a cold or something. And then so then he can tell when I'm like hanging up, like I'm sad, but he was like, I will talk to you later, you know? And then so after dinner, he did call back later after dinner.
That's nice.
Yeah, but then I guess like we talked, but I feel like after, like the argument, like even like on Sunday, we kind of have a physical intimacy moment. And then I actually kind of afterwards, I didn't really like it because I wasn't able to spend a lot of time with him. So I brought that topic up. I was like, I wish we can spend more time. But he was like, oh, our time is limited. And I was like, okay, then can we just use that time to do some other activity besides being in the bedroom? And then he was like, okay, fine, then I'm gonna suppress I'm just gonna suppress it then. And then so like that was the last argument we had on Sunday. So then I just felt like,
Okay, wait. He tried to be intimate with you and you turned him down.
oh, we actually did the intimacy, but then I have to go to class. So we didn't really spend that much time after the intimate moment. So then I just told him after my class, I was like, is it possible next time? Like my body just reacts. Like wanted to spend more time after the intimacy. Like we only hold each other for like 10 minutes and that's it. And then yeah, so and then he was like, oh, we have limited time. I was like, then can we use that? If we don't have time, can we just use it on some, like let's not do that, like let's not do intercourse, we can do some other activity. And then he was like, okay, my when you say that, can I be honest with you? I was like, yes. And then he was like, my mind is thinking that like I need to process this. He said he used the word, my mind is need to process this, and then I'm gonna just suppress. Like he used the word suppress. I'm gonna suppress it then. And then I was really anxious when he used the word suppress, or I was triggered when he used the word
You're
suppress.
getting triggered like all the time with
Yeah, and then so then yeah, so then
Everything's a trigger.
so then I told him, that word is weird. Like why are you using that word suppress? And then I don't want it to be suppressed. He was like, well, when the urge comes up, I'm just not gonna react to it. And I was like, okay. And then, but he said he
You're
needs
like,
to
that's
process.
not what I meant.
Yeah. But so I'm like, okay. But he didn't really bring that up anymore. So yesterday I kind of asked him, so how are you feeling now? And he was like, oh, I've been feeling good, So I was like, okay. So he didn't really bring that up again. And then so I guess I just leave it. But then today he didn't text me the whole day again. So I can sense him like, he usually just call me, but then like you
He's
sometimes,
pulling away because you're
yeah.
always criticizing him. And I understand it's because you're getting triggered by him, which is normal because we often pick people who trigger us so that we can heal our trauma. But when you're getting triggered by him, you're giving in to the trigger. And what I mean by that is you're giving it significance and weight instead of like recognizing that what's happening is you're being triggered and the guy just needs to eat his dinner. I'm totally fine with you crying and all that about it, but what's not great is you're doing it in front of him and it's coming off as a bit of a manipulation. And the bottom line is you gotta let the guy eat dinner, right? Like he's hungry. He's got to be able to get off the phone without making you cry just because he wants to go eat some dinner. He has to feed himself. You know you're being in unreasonable, right?
Yeah, so
And
that's makes
I'm
me
not
feel bad.
saying suppress your feelings. I understand that the act of him getting off the phone is triggering your abandonment issues. I do see that, but I'm trying to help you take a different action. Okay, have a good dinner, get off the phone, then cry. Then you can call me. You can call your mom. Whatever you want to do. Sit in the shower. Make yourself feel better. These feelings have to come up and be processed, but they can't always be on him to help you do that. Sometimes it can be. But it's like every time you're getting triggered, and he's literally trying to either do something nice for you, or he's just trying to take care of his needs. He wants to be intimate with you. Now you're shutting that down. Do you see? The reason that he said, okay, I'll just suppress it, is because he tries to connect with you. And one way of connecting is physical intimacy. And if it's not perfect to every stricture that you need, you shut it down. And so you're pushing him away. And it's making me sad because I see you sabotaging this relationship. And I think you like this guy. I
Yeah.
think you really like him. And so
Yeah.
I just want you to stop criticizing everything that he's doing.
Yeah. So I don't know. And then I was explaining to him, I was like, oh, I don't mean like I don't want to do this intimacy thing. Like, I meant like when we have more time, I'm sure in the future we will. It's just
I
when
know,
we're.
but why do you have to make these tiny points? You know what I'm saying? You got to pick your battles. You
Yeah.
can't just criticize him about everything. He came over unannounced with a dessert and you criticize him. He paid for the dinner and that wasn't a dinner you wanted to pay him to pay for and you criticized him. Now he came over and was intimate with you and showed you that he loves you, is attracted to you in that way, and you still criticize him. It's going to become unlivable for him.
Yeah, so I mean, I told him I'll be working on the, like, yesterday on the phone, I was like, yeah, I'll try to work on not letting go of negative thought for us. And he was like, yeah, think positive, please. And I was like, yeah, I'll work on that on us. And then, yeah, that's the last conversation we had,
Okay,
but
so you remember yesterday I said, make him right, unless you have to call a doctor or a lawyer or a policeman. Make him right. Okay. Because you're in a danger zone with him now. Of course, he's going to break up with you. Right?
So what should I do now? Because I feel like I've been chasing him in a way. Like, I've been trying to, wrote him a letter. I'm like trying to, like, kind of over explain myself in a way. I'm like, oh, I was being anxious,
When's
more.
your next plan to see each other?
That's the thing. He doesn't really like ask me to hang out.
Now he hasn't been doing that. He
Yeah. And
was
then,
doing that.
yeah, like the Labor Day weekend is coming up. He knows I have that day off. He didn't ask me to do anything.
Okay.
So I guess, should I don't want to.
This is what I want you to do. And it's pretty similar to what I told you a couple weeks ago. I don't want you to ask him for more, better, and different love. I want you to be available to his leadership and to receive from him when he comes to you. Okay. Give him a little space to reach out. If he doesn't reach out, then you can reach out after a few days, ask him for help, ask him for advice. Okay. And when you're having these triggered reactions, try not to dump everything on him, especially not without an appointment. Remember, because we don't criticize, teach, preach, moan, bitch, or complain unless we have an appointment. And the beauty of that is when we have to make appointments to bring up negative shit, a lot of times that process of making an appointment shows us that we don't need to talk about it anymore. Not everything needs to be talked about. You want to spend longer in bed with him. Okay, but it wasn't possible this time. Why bring that up? You know what I'm saying? I understand you want to make sure he knows that. And it's not that it's a horrible thing, but it's just coming on the heels of like a bunch of other criticisms. And there's like literally nothing he could do about it that day anyway.
Yeah. So I don't
And
know what to
men need to have that physical connection to experience love. Like men.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like if men don't get enough physical connection, they don't feel connected.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of worried, and I told him that's not what I meant, like I
I
still
know.
want
I
that.
know.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that you're doing all that after the fact. I just want to get to you before you do those things, right? Like, let's intervene in the moment before you say that.
Yeah, so for now, if he's not asking, like I should just like lean back and like not keep reaching out to him, right? Because I feel like I was kind of reaching out to him a lot
Yeah,
yesterday.
give it a little bit of a rest. Take care of yourself. Do things that are not, that are make you feel good. Okay? If you feel triggered, try to make yourself feel better. Whatever it is. We've talked about a bunch of different tools. We can talk about this more tomorrow. Are we still going to talk tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm
Okay.
trying
Okay.
to get the
Let's talk about it more tomorrow. But basically, I want you to slow it down a little bit so that when you're triggered, you don't react like that with criticisms
Yeah.
and
And then
complaints.
now I just kind of focus on myself because like I think
Yes.
I was like I couldn't sleep, and then I was like, should I tell him? I'm like, oh no, because I wouldn't rely on him emotionally if I did, you know.
Well, it's not that I, right. It's not that I didn't want you to tell him all that stuff. It just was the tone of the way things were phrased. I think if you need help from him, we need to be a little bit more specific. So let's talk about that more tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, sweetie, hang in there.
Thank you.
Okay, Natalie. I see this thing that you wrote in the chat. I'm new here, so what is the best place to find a beloved with an entrepreneur spirit? Cute. Okay. I'm trying to unmute you. There you are.
Hi.
Hi, welcome. Okay, so you're single and you want to find a guy who's an entrepreneur? Is that accurate? I can't hear you. Natalie?
Amy?
Yes, now I can. So you want to find a guy, you're single and you want to find an entrepreneur to date?
If I may ask you a question before this one.
Okay, ask. I'm not hearing anything. Natalie?
Yes, I'm
Okay.
here.
Okay, speak.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I have met a gentleman about 3 4 weeks ago, and I kept my o heart open, and I think he did as well. And we got attracted to each other. He's got a situation, that's what he explained to me later, that he has got. He's living with somebody for 10 years, and he did not have any relationship, sexual relationship in the last year with her. He's looking for a change. And he wants to stay with me, and I mentioned to him that maybe she needs a support, and he can try to stay with her because she is afraid if he would leave, or he would ask you to leave. She's afraid, and she's all in a panic mode. I'm not sure if I've done the right thing to recommend it to him because he feels it might not work anyways. So I am not too sure what to do at this point.
Okay, I don't understand why you're, t if you're interested in this guy, why you're telling him to stay with the woman he's with that he's unhappy with. Why are you doing it? What are your reasons for doing that?
I just feel compassionate for her because it's his house, she's got no job, and she's got mental issues. And if he will ask you to out, then she will be on the street.
She has nobody else.
Well, she's got a parents, which I'm not sure if she can move in. And they
Because
have
it's not
it's
really like a great thing for her to be with a guy who doesn't want to be with her, you know? And it's not a good thing for him. I mean, ultimately, I'm hearing like you're saying things that what you think should be done. But just because things should be done doesn't mean that that's the right thing to do. And in general, I try not to should on people. And I recommend that you do as well. Because it's, well, it has to do with the ego states, but it tends to be a fool's errand. You know what I mean? S telling someone what they should do
I
is.
don't say the word should. I just said, make the right decision. And
Okay. Okay. Well, so what's your question? I mean, is you still you're standing by that? When did this happen?
it just happened in the last few days, and I am hearing what you're saying, so I understand. Now I understand now.
You know, it's just not really your role unless you're his mommy and he's a little boy. Why are you telling him what he should do? Why aren't you letting him make his own decisions? You can say, I don't feel good about this.
Which I did.
Okay. But don't direct his behavior. You know what I'm saying? You can say, I feel guilty. I feel weird about this. It's not for me, this situation. Okay, that's fair. But don't try to direct his behavior. Do you understand the difference?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So coming back to my question in
Yes.
the
Okay,
chat.
so you want to find an entrepreneur. Okay,
Yes.
so I'm going to give you an exercise that I call the five flirts. And what it means is you're going to be flirting 5 days a week. Four of those days, you're going to be flirting just in the course of your day. And then one of those days, you're going to plant yourself somewhere. Let me ask you, do you want your feelings cherished or your thoughts respected? Which do you want more?
I think feelings.
Okay, so that's the feminine mode. So when you're out and about, when you're at the grocery store, when you're walking your dog, whatever you're doing, if you see somebody that catches your fancy, you're going to give him 5 seconds of eye contact and a smile. Okay?
Okay.
That's his sign that he can approach. That's you're going to do that at the same time, the smile with the eye contact. One day a week, you're going to plant yourself somewhere. So go somewhere where entrepreneurs hang out. And if it's a conference, if it's a hotel bar, if it's, the restaurant across the street from an investment bank, wherever it is that, I have clients learning how to play golf or getting dogs to meet guys or to meet women. So, think about it or test it out a little bit. You can play with it, but go and plant yourself somewhere for 45 minutes to an hour. Go alone. You can bring a book, you bring your phone. And that way, when you give somebody 5 seconds of eye contact with a smile, they have a chance to approach. He who is masculine speaks first. So the only exception to that would be asking for help or asking for advice. Give that signal, and then if he's interested or she, if you like women as well, then you can, he can sit down, he can talk, they can talk to you, whatever it is. And if you go somewhere regularly, then they really have a chance to get to know you. Does that sound good? Does that sound like something you can try?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I mean, you will meet people that way. You'll be surprised. And then let me know how it goes. Come back and let us know how it goes.
Okay, I will. I live in the village. It's a little bit quiet here, but I will do that.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. I love to hear your guys' updates all the time. You know that that is part of this work and it helps build the community. I'm going to be here on Meetup for another couple weeks, and I'm taking a break for the holidays, but I'll still be available for privates, and then I'll be back in the new year. Okay, I have time here. Assume you're done. Okay. Did you have something else you wanted to say quickly, Allie?
I did. Thank you,
Okay.
Chloe. Really appreciate you for taking my question.
Of
All right.
course.
So I mentioned earlier that I'm working on the process of healing and recovering from the impact of familial narcissistic abuse, or that
ZPSD.
which,
Yes.
And so I didn't know that that was the dynamic, and I feel like in this relationship, part of why I'm also being very intentional about allowing this to be a healing journey and a healing space is that my confidence was shaken around, well, who am I now without the family that I thought I had? That used to
Yes.
be a real strong social cred that I really felt was a jewel in my crown, so to speak. Now, not so much. And it's amazing because I always, it's just like realizing, wow, wait a minute, hold on. What was true? Well, wait a minute, you mean to tell me that wasn't true either? So I've been in that space and it's been a re-education of a lot of things. And it's really kind of, it feels like affected my solar plexus. So I'm
Yes,
healing
it's
that
very disorienting.
very much so.
But
And I'm
good for you. I mean, I'm
yeah.
really proud of you. I'm really happy to hear this.
Thank
You know,
you. Thank
because a
you.
lot of people don't have that level of courage, you
Thank
know, and
you.
then they just end up living out the emotional lives of their parents, you
No
know.
way. And really quickly, so this is the question. So I'm allowing myself to bask in my feminine essence, my divine feminine, and also my authentic feminine power, if there's such a thing. And so I've just been embodying that and really practicing that and practicing the art of receiving. He cooks for me, he pampers me when I'm there. He takes me dancing. We have a great time. I laugh so much from the
I love it.
very healing and very nurturing. And he also has helped to regulate me. Like he'll, I've had, I used to have panic attacks daily as I was learning, oh my God, I may have to go no contact with my
Yeah.
mom. And it really took my breath away. And I was having multiple panic attacks a day. And so he would literally have me face him. And he's like, sweetheart, breathe with me. And he literally stroked my chest and my back, not in a sexual way, but just in a grounding way. And I feel like I'm coming back to myself. Even when I see him these days, well, I mean, you know, we're together, but when I'm in his presence, he'll say, sweetheart, you're glowing. Wow, what's going on? You know? And so that lets me know
You're
I'm
shifting
getting
your
that part
energy.
of, yeah, and I'm getting that part of me back because I've been that person. It's just going through this has been really maybe not disempowering, it's been disorienting. It's been
Look,
disorienting.
everything, all pain, all change, even change for the better is painful. That's actually the title of my second book, New Ways of Being, The Pain of Change. And I think people don't anticipate that. They think, oh, I'm making all these changes, my life's just gonna be better. No, it's gonna be fucking hard for a long time.
There you
Like it's
go.
gonna, even when you're making changes for the better, it's painful. And so it's really important that doesn't spook you from stopping.
No. Yeah, right. So how, okay, so in dating, I would presume that you've worked with women who have healed or worked on rebranding themselves or reconfiguring their self-identity
Yeah,
when
you're
it
having
comes.
a rebirth.
That's exactly it. And so when I don't have my family, because I used to see that as a shining gem in my crown, how do I mean, I don't have anything to be ashamed of. I didn't do anything. However, it feels kind of like, wow, my life is so different. And
Yeah.
how do you address that? How do you address that when people are like, so where's, you know, like, why don't you have any kids? Or, you know, you don't have children yet? That kind of thing, when your life has been hampered by narcissistic abuse from your family, and you may have to go no contact from all of them because of the smear campaigning, and it's just so incredibly painful.
Yeah. Look, our time's pretty much up here. This is a pretty deep question. I'm going to suggest to you, I mean, the short answer is, you know, you do it day by day. But, you know, check out my books, especially the first and the second one. I think those will help you. And if you want to set up a private, we can. But I hear you, and I think you're bringing up such an important issue. It's actually something I focus on a lot with my
Really?
clients. Yeah, is the pain of change. And it's very important to be able to distinguish the differences between the pain that change is taking place or the pain that change needs to take place. And so that's where a lot of people get confused, and then they slide backward because they think, oh shit, this isn't supposed to be this painful. I better go back to doing it this way. And then it's kind of like starting over. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to revisit this with you. It might be a little bit beyond the scope of this group because this group's just trying to introduce you guys to some of these things. But it starts with kind of, with what you're doing, respecting your own thoughts, cherishing your own feelings, being aware of those things, following your gut instincts. I mean, there's a number of things. That you can do. But yeah, I mean, check out those. You guys can always reach out to me through my website, which I put in the chat. Check out those books, see if that's helpful. And, if you want, we can set up a one-on-one to talk about it further.
You
But
put your link in the chat. You put your information in the chat.
yeah, I put all my stuff in the chat, and it's also on Meetup too. And you can Google me too. I mean, it's pretty easy to find me.
I will do that. And really quickly, I've been noticing that I've been playing with the energy of modulating how it is I'm titrating, how much I share about the trauma and the pain, and realizing he's not my girlfriend, and that's been a huge, huge lesson where I am embodying the space. Really, of a grown ass woman who's really standing in her authentic power and not leaking life force energy all over the place and weeping,
I mean, you have so much to look forward to.
Thank you.
You have so much to look forward to. And that's from somebody who's really, I've been through a very similar thing. I've helped
Really?
other people through it, and I've also been through it. So,
Really? This type
yeah.
of wound?
Yes. Check out my book.
What?
You'll see my story. I was
Oh.
raised by monsters.
Oh my God, I'm definitely going to reach out to you. Yeah, and when you say you have so much to look forward to, what do you mean by that?
I mean, you're being born again. This is why that term came up in Christianity, because you're literally having a rebirth of yourself. You're reclaiming. This is your, I'm going to say this is your birth night. You had a birthday and now you're having a birth night.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Chloe. I received that. Wow.
You are so welcome, and kudos to you for doing this work and hanging in there. And for everybody here in this room, it takes a lot to do this stuff. It's triggering. It's so worth it. The freedom, when you have freedom from triggers, and you're going to see, Allie, when you, as you go further down this journey, it's so worth it. There's nothing that can replace that level of freedom, that level of confidence. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up now. I know I didn't get to everyone. Please excuse me. You guys know how to find me, but I will be here next week and the week following. So, I hope to see you then. Have a good night.